please stand for the processional of our 2015 graduates.
Greetings this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. God is good.
All the time.
And how good He is to us today to be here together to celebrate with our graduates. It's opportunities like this that reminds us of how good God is and reminds us of the calling that God places on our life. We'll be celebrating that and wrestling with that today in worship. What does it mean to be a light in a world of darkness? Today, I want to remind you that we have our Pinewood Derby race. The weigh-in is at 4 o'clock, race at 4:30. Even if you don't have a car ready to be beaten by mine, you're still welcome to come to be there. We'll see, Billy. We'll see. The kids, of course, they might be racing too, I think. Is that right, Alec? The children, the RAs, will be racing their cars, and it's just a fun thing to watch. If you've never been to an RA Pinewood Derby, come tonight, be a part of it. We'll also have a meal and fellowship around pizza after the race, and then our adult Bible study and youth program to follow. So I want to encourage you to think about coming and being a part of that tonight. As we continue to worship, we think about some of the songs that we are seeing in worship today. Celebrating the holiness of God, celebrating the light of Christ shining into the world, celebrating friendship built in Christ, rooted and founded on Christ that endures forever. This is a great day for our graduates, but it's a great day for all of us to be a part of the kingdom of God. Congratulations. Let us continue to worship.
Our opening scripture reading comes from 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Father God, we have gathered in your house this morning as a time of celebration, as a time of recognition, but most importantly, a time of worship. We feel the Spirit here with us and guiding us in our time of singing, our time of scripture reading, our time of prayer. And Father God, we just know that as we experience worship this day and participate and contribute to worship, that we will be changed. Father God, we lift up our graduates to you this morning. We lift up the dedication and the sacrifice and the service that they have worked for so many years to get to this point. But Father, we know that you have a greater plan, just as you have a greater plan for each one of us. Father, we lift this up to you. We lift our graduates up to you. And we lift this day, this time of worship, and the future up to you, knowing that you are there and you are guiding. Father, we lift this name in your Son's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and sing our song of praise, Shine, Jesus, Shine. It's in your hymn book, number 579.
Jesus.
Today is a special day. It is a special day for our congregation, a special day for families and friends, and last but not least, a special day for our graduates. As I look down at this front pew down here, I see past retreats. I see mission trips. I see mission projects. I see worship experiences. I see friendships. But most importantly, what I see is a lot of potential. And as you go, graduates, may you know that God has a plan for each one of you. He is designing it. He is shaping you to fulfill His plan. And so just not just today, but for the days in the future, God has a plan. So I leave you with that message this morning. I'm sure Mason will say a little bit more about that a little bit later in our sermon. As we come to our time of high school graduation, we do have four graduates that we want to recognize. As we come to that time, graduates, I'll ask you to come forward. We'll present you with a gift on behalf of the church and allow you to share what the future plans are, what God has in store for you in the coming days. And we look forward to hearing what your plans are and seeing years down the road how they come to fruition. It is a day of celebration. It is a day of happiness, and for your families as well. Your families have dedicated a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of sweat, a lot of tears, maybe a little bit of blood, you never know. But they have supported you through this journey. And so at the time that we recognize our graduates, we're going to ask the family members to please stand to be recognized as well, because you deserve a pat on the back and a good job. Congratulations as well. Let's start with our graduates. Our first graduate this morning is Brandy Brenner.
A little bit taller than David.
You got me by about a foot.
And 3 inches. So, before I start, I want to take a selfie. So, So I'm graduating from Western High. I can't say it was great, but I did it. And thanks, Mom and Dad, for making me go. Thanks, Tim, for making me graduate. I'm going to go to Elon University and major in psychology, and I don't know what I'm going to minor in, so that's going to be a surprise to me. Also, this coming December, God has blessed me and my boyfriend, Tim, with a baby. So... thank you. And thanks.
Now back to the shorter person. Our next high school graduate is Joshua Harris.
I'm graduating from Adkins High School. I'll be attending Appalachian State in the fall. I just want to thank my family and friends for helping me get through this. And coming from a divorced household, I guess you can say I have multiple families. But I want to thank everybody in the church for being the best second family anybody could ask for. So thank you.
Our next high school graduate, who's about my height, is Alex Laporta.
Good morning. My name's Alex, and I'm graduating from Western High School, and I'm planning on attending ACC in the fall and transferring to UNC. Thank you all for everybody. Thank you, family. Thank you, friends of the church. And thank you all.
Last but not least, Christina Lupa.
Hi, I'm Christina. I am graduating from Williams High School. I will be attending East Carolina University in the fall, and I will be studying made public health to be a dentist, and I would like to thank the church and most importantly my family for all the love and support that you have given me.
Those are our four high school graduates this year. We also have a college graduate that was unable to be here today. Joshua Barefoot graduated from ACC with an associate's degree. I congratulated him on Wednesday. So the next time you see him, drive by the church. He may be mowing the grass. Make sure you stop and tell him congratulations and for his accomplishments at ACC. Graduates, that is not the only gift that you will receive. What you received in your hands is a Bible that we hope you will use as a guidebook for the days to come. You also receive a devotional and some music that'll kind of help you get through those tough, difficult times of college. But we also want to present you today with a PowerPoint presentation of some memories of yours. They're really good, folks. Just wait till you see this thing. But it is a day to celebrate, and we want to say congratulations.
Packing up the dreams God's planted in the fertile soil of you. Can't believe the hopes he's granted means a chapter in your life is through. But we'll keep you close as always. It won't even seem you've gone, but our hearts in big and small ways will keep the love that keeps us strong. Faith and love God's given is from the hope we know. We will pray the joy you'll live in is the strength that now you show. But we'll keep you close as always. It won't even seem you've gone, but our hearts in big and small ways will keep the love that keeps us strong.
Time.
Please stand and sing our offertory hymn, Thy Word. Please stand.
Let us pray. Father God, as we come to that time of the service where we return a portion of the gifts that you have blessed us with, we were reminded that the gifts that we place in the offering plate are just the beginning. Father, you have called us to serve and honor you with all that we have. And we lift this to you this day as an offering, hoping that it will be pleasing to you. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
It's only for a moment you are mine to hold. The plans that heaven has for you will all too soon unfold. So many different prayers I'll pray for all that you might do. But most of all, I want to know you're walking in the truth. And if I never told you, I want you to know that as I watch you grow, I pray that God would fill your heart with dreams, and that faith gives you the courage to dare to do great things. I'm here for you, whatever this life brings. So let my love give you room and help you find your wings. May passion be the wind that leads you through your days, and may conviction keep you strong and guide you on your way. May there be many moments that make your life so sweet. Oh, but more than memories, I pray that God would fill your heart with dreams, and that faith gives you the courage to dare to do great things. I'm here for you, whatever this life brings. So let my love give you roots and help you find your wings. It's not living if you don't reach for the sky. I'll have tears as you take off, but I'll cheer as you fly. I pray that God would fill your heart with dreams, and that faith gives you the courage to dare to do great things. I'm here for you, whatever this life brings. So let my love give you roots and help you find your wings.
We decided to leave Kathy's beautiful decorations to remind us that we are in the Spirit when we are in this place. And it is in the Spirit that we find the confidence to seek the Lord in prayer. Would you join me in our pastoral prayer and confession? Right off, God, we confess that we often are forgetful people. We forget your word and your promises. We forget your challenges and your commands. We forget the law. We forget grace. We forget to think about your Spirit in this place and to yield to it, to open ourselves to the Spirit. And in doing so, Lord, we find ourselves lost. It feels dark. It's lonely and scary. But we are here to come home. We are here today, Lord, to seek that Spirit that we might become alive again, that we might be whole again, that we might be all that you've called us and created us to be. And by that Spirit, we believe in the promises of your Scripture. That your love is unbreakable. Nothing can separate us from it. That your mercy is endless. It endures forever. And Lord, help us. Help us all, for all of us here this morning are struggling with different things. Some of us are just trying to figure out who we are and where we're going and what does this all mean. Others of us are wrestling with persistent sickness, cancer, hurting body aches, and more. We pray, Lord, for your healing presence in our lives. Some of us, oh Lord, are grieving today. Some of us are thinking about those loved ones who can't be with us. Some of those loved ones are even now at home, bedridden or just unable to get out and about, or they're in an assisted living facility or retirement home or rehab center. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would be with them. We know your Spirit is in all places at all times. And Lord, as we said in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done. That's our only hope. That's the beginning and end of our prayer. That your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. We have two scriptures for our second scripture reading. The first comes from Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world, to be shining stars in this world of darkness. And in the second passage from Daniel 12, beginning in verse 1, at that time, Michael, the great prince, the protector of your people, shall arise. There shall be a time of anguish such as never has occurred since nations first came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. God always blesses the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Amen. Some people graduate magna cum laude, some graude, thank you, laude, and we're thankful for your graduation today. You know, it's been a road that none of us can really understand. It was your road. It was your path. It was your challenges. It was your test and exams and countless papers and books to read and math equations to figure out. Math, I believe, by the way, is a second form of profanity, in my opinion. And you faced that road and you saw it to the end. As the Apostle Paul would say, you finished the race. And it was a difficult race, a challenge, but you overcame all of those obstacles to lead you to this moment, to put on the cap and the gown, to wear a dress to church, and to celebrate with your church family and your family that you did it. You did it. But I would say, if you're anything like me, you may think or be tempted to think this is the biggest thing you've done in your life or the biggest thing you'll ever do. And my prayer, and I think our prayer together collectively, is that this would be the smallest thing you've ever done in your life. That there is an entire world of potential and opportunity waiting for you outside this moment. Beyond this celebration, there should be thousands of other celebrations, much larger, much grander. When we think about a day like this, it's hard not to think about Jesus and his challenge for us, all of us, not just graduates, but us as disciples, as children of God, that we are called to be incredible beings and do incredible things. The last thing the kingdom of God wants is mediocrity. The last thing that Jesus is seeking is people who will be mediocre people, who will just kind of live and just kind of do good things and great things. That what Jesus is calling forth for us is nothing less to be world-changing, dynamic superheroes who have no fear of darkness, the devil, or any other kind of creature or thing or person or program or policy or law, and face this world of darkness and shine in it. And shine in such a way that the world is changed. You hear a lot of messages at graduations that say you can change the world. But the reality is Christ seeks to change the world through you, to impact this world. I love Jesus' instruction when he is delivering this famous Sermon on the Mount. And he's gone through and he's taught all of us so many profound lessons about forgiveness, about mercy. He talks about everything from marriage. He tells us that blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And as he begins to climax in this Sermon on the Mount, this famous message, he offers these words in chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled under the foot. If you think about yourself as salt, adding flavor, and we've preached on this together before, you think about how that affects and changes the meat. I mean, I just about can't eat a hamburger unless it's got a little bit of salt on it. It amplifies it, or as my dad likes to say, it brightens it up. Have you ever heard that saying? Let's brighten that up a little bit. He's calling us to be those people, those agents that are in the world to brighten it up a little bit, to add flavor to the world. In verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. When we conduct a baptismal service here in the church, the person who comes up out of the water, the new disciple, the new believer, they are given two things. They're given a lit candle and a handful of salt. And they're told, you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth, go and make disciples. Jesus is very careful here in the way he words this. He doesn't say go out and be famous. He doesn't say go out and be a superstar. He doesn't say go out and do a lot of great things so you'll make more money, so that you'll be famous and everybody will love you and everybody will want to be with you. Be you and be with you and be around you. No, he says so that people will see you. They'll see the stuff you're doing. They'll see your good works and then glorify the Lord. That's what it is to be the salt of the earth. It's kind of like making a contrast between the song that says, shine bright like a diamond. This is an image of wealth and power and success and bling and personal glory versus Jesus saying, be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. A very different concept of shining bright into the world so that people are challenged by our lives. And Jesus is trying to help us see that we are disciples not simply for ourselves, but for the world's sake, for the sake of others. When you are approaching your future, whether you're going to college or you're going into a workplace or you're going on from college into graduate school, wherever you go or whatever you are, shine. That's the simple calling, to shine into the dark world. To be agents of change. Are there places where there is hunger? Figure out how to feed them. Are there places where people are poor? Figure out how to help people discover success for their own lives. Are there places where there are other kinds of poverty, whether it be spiritual or mental? How can you bring hope? How can you bring salvation? And ultimately, Jesus is talking about the grand calling, which is to make disciples. To shine so brightly that people say, what's up with this God that this person loves so much? What's the big deal about this Jesus? It seems to matter so much in their life. They're different. If the world's not looking at us and saying, there's something different about you, we are not living as lights as we ought to be. When I was in college, somebody gave me a pack of these glow-in-the-dark stars. I highly recommend it. And I stuck them all over the ceiling and around the doorframe to the restroom and on my loft. And they were really helpful because my roommate my freshman year was really kind of an introvert. He liked to sleep a lot and he didn't like to get out. And I was the guy who every night, you know, we were going to the Waffle House. We were making a run. So he hated it if I would turn the light switch on. But these glow stars, these glow-in-the-dark stars, if I got up in the middle of the night and or somebody called me and said, let's go, let's do something, there was just enough light from these glow-in-the-dark stars to see in the dark room. Just enough, a faint yellowish glow on the floor. And so I could get up, I could move about. But if we let those glow stars glow in the dark too long, there was a problem. It's as if Jesus is saying, on the one hand, be like these glow-in-the-dark stars shining in the world of darkness, but don't forget that if you shine in the darkness too long, you're going to be like the darkness itself. If we only have friends who are non-believers, if we only listen to non-believing music, and we only watch non-believing entertainment on screens, and we only read non-believing books and literature, guess what's going to happen? I once woke up at about 3 o'clock in the morning, and the stars were not glowing any longer. They were in the dark too long. They faded out and lost their luster and their glow. They were as dark as the darkness in the room. The same thing is what we face as disciples. To figure out that balance between being in the world of darkness in such a way as to shine light into that world, to have those non-believing friends to witness to, but not being completely in the darkness always to the point where we ourselves become the darkness. Paul would write in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 and following, he writes, for once you were darkness. In other words, there was a time in our lives where we were no different than anyone else in the world. We were a part of the evil machine, the darkness itself. But now in the Lord, you are light. You are light. Believe it. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake! Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This balance could be summed up in this way. We are called in a twofold call as disciples, to be the light of the world, but to also remember that He is the light. So to be the light, but also to be in the light is the Christian duty. To be the light transforming the world, but to be in the light that is the transformation of the world. To not only proclaim the gospel, but to read it, to study it. To not only tell people, hey, you ought to go to church, but to be there ourselves in the worshiping community with the other believers. To be the light and to be in the light. And to do that will change the world. It really will. You know, when I was a graduate from high school, I remember we had a lot of speakers that came to our school. Montel Williams came to our school too, by the way. And he shared one of those typical inspirational messages where they challenged you and said, you know, you by yourself can change the world. Because our fear, I think, not only as teenagers, but in all our years, is I am just one person. So what if my light shines in the darkness? It's just a little light. I am just a little twinkle. So what if I try to make a difference in the world? But the fact is, the older I get, the more I realize those messages are not just cliches, they're truth. It's not just a warm feeling when the speaker says, you can change the world, you can make a difference. It is a reality. If we are in Christ, we can. I'll tell you a story from my high school years. My best friend in the world is a guy named Dave, and Dave and I are so close. In fact, I became a disciple, and two nights later, Dave became a disciple. We've sort of brothers from spiritual birth, if you will. And Dave and I were at a summer camp, and that was when we made our decisions to follow Christ. And I remember sharing with Dave what had gone on, why I chose to walk down the aisle as you do and kneel at the altar and give my life to Christ. And I remember his words. He just shook his head and said, I'm just not ready for that. I'm not sure about that. Sometimes, even as adult disciples, we wonder, are we really sure? Are we ready for this life of being a light in the world? Are we ready to change everything? But two nights later, the speaker was preaching again, and this time he was not offering any kind of invitation. There was no, hey, come on down the aisle. He simply asked us, he said, if you are struggling with what it means to be alive, to be a living person, to have life to the full, if you're struggling with that, I would invite you to just stand where you are. Don't come down. I just want you to think about it. And just tonight, just stand. Nobody stood. That's a terrible feeling for an evangelist, by the way. When the room was completely quiet, no music playing, just silence and no one standing. There will be times in our lives when no one will stand with us. When no one will stand up for us or with us. But then suddenly, Dave, he stood up. But he didn't just stand up. He started making his way to the aisle. And I, honestly, my first thought was, Dave, this is a really inappropriate time to get up and go to the restroom. Because in my mind, I'm thinking there's no way he's making any kind of decision. But not only did he stand up, he began making his way down to the front of the altar. And the speaker, of course, didn't know what to do. He's like, this guy, what's this guy doing? He's actually talking about Dave as Dave is coming. He's coming all the way down here. What you doing, man? Dave didn't hear anything or see anything but Jesus Christ and his love. And he fell on his knees and in tears poured his life out as an offering to the Lord. People just watched this. This one guy willing to stand in a room of 655 other people, all alone. And this is when God started doing his thing. Because you could hear the sound, you know, those theater seats that flip up when you stand up. And there in this room, no music playing, all the lights are on, nobody had their head bowed and their eyes closed and all that trickery. Just a room full of people staring at each other. You heard off in the back that sound, click-clack, as one of those chairs popped up, and someone else, a young girl, began making her way down to the altar in tears. Click-clack, another person stood up and began making their way. Click-clack. Then it began to sound like some sweet symphony of the Spirit. Click-clack, 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 as over 100 people stood up and made their way down. Now, I know, sure, there's some emotionalism that was wrapped up into that. And I have no idea what decisions were made or whether or not those decisions endured. But I know one thing. It all started because one scared, shaking little kid stood up when no one else would. Be in the light. You see, the point that Jesus is making, that Paul is making, that I am making here, is that when we shine, people see it. They will notice you. What's the saying? Your future's so bright, you gotta wear shades. God has an incredible future for all of us to be lights in this world. We said that the message could be summed up by saying to be the light and to be in the light. Jesus would word it another way, and I'll leave with this. He would say that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God. And the second one is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Would you pray with me? Lord, help us to be in the light, to love you with all our heart and mind and soul and strength. And help us to be the light, loving our neighbor as ourselves. Loving others as you love them and as you love us. And help us all, Lord, to be a people who seek to change the world even if none go with us. Even if none will stand with us. To shine into that darkness so that people can see the way, so that people can see the truth, so that people can see your love. So that we might proclaim the gospel truth. And Lord, bring us home. Shine the lights on us so that we might, as your children, be reignited with the light of Christ. Be illuminated once again by the light of Christ so that we can go out in the darkness and shine once again. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen. Graduates, last Sunday, we said this was a symbol of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, there's actually something inside of this gift that I wanted to personally give to you. It's something I think you can use and will remind you of this day. Place it somewhere where you'll see it and it will shine brightly. There you go. And for all you other kids and graduates of life, there's a few more in the box. You're welcome to them, to take them and place them in a place where you'll see it and remember to be the light, but to also be recharged in the presence of the light of Christ. Would you stand together as we sing our hymn of response? Say, Jesus, what's the name of it? Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Would you please stand? Standing for our benediction, and the choir has a special song to share at the end with the for the graduates. And then if you would remain standing as our graduates process out again, would you pray with me? May the light of the world shine upon you, causing your face to be all aglow with the glory of the Lord, so that others might see the light within you, so that others might see it and seek the one who lights our world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
please remain standing for the recessional of the graduates.